It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The Michael K. Show.
Ranger Joe, watching the K Show on Yes, which I don't normally do. I'm an ESPN 98.7 listener normally, and I'm not sure how I feel about this. I feel like Rosenberg Radio is staring into my soul, and I don't like it.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. And he's not here to defend himself.
Does he understand, the length of the commercials?
I just went to go look for him.
You can't have your daily constitutional in the middle of a radio show. You got to adjust your fiber or something, man. You got to make it happen at a time where you can relax. It's where I get my reading done, Michael. Imagine if I just, pulled out the Streisand book at 5:15 and said, all right, guys, I'll see you in a half hour.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Ah, yes. Let's get back to basketball. Let's talk about New York basketball in specific. So the Knicks lost last night. It will not happen on this show's watch, anybody ripping the Knicks losing games now. They should be losing games. They're an incomplete team that's been ravaged by significant injury. It goes back to what we were talking about with the Yankees before. Injuries are an excuse. No Julius Randle. No OG Anunoby. Last night, no Hartenstein. No Mitchell Robinson. No Dante DiVincenzo, no Bogdanovich. I mean, that's a lot of manpower, important manpower that's out. They're not going to win a lot of games. And games they win will be gritty, gutty, grinded affairs. And my one worry is that you're going to really have to put the pedal to the metal on Brunson, who plays all out anyway. The only chance they have is for Brunson to be a magician. And to just play 45 minutes a game. That's not good for the long haul. So the fact that they lost to Houston, helped by the officials, and the fact that they lose to Orlando, which is not a bad team, what are you going to do? Can't sit here and rip them. Now, the Nets last night, they lost their second straight game to the Celtics. They lost by 50 points.
Not what you want.
50, Peter. 50. 5-0.
Hate to see it.
But there seems to be this narrative, and my guy Don, and earlier in the station, Alan Hahn, showing a lot of, maybe enmity's not the word, but putting a lot of the blame on Jock Vaughn. What kind of team do they have? Do you think that they measure up with the Boston Celtics? Now, should they lose by 50? Absolutely not. They're not a championship caliber team. The best hope that they could possibly have is to get into the play-in. And that's still a possibility. They haven't had Ben Simmons, their best player, for most of the year. And when I say best player, all around, what he can be.
I mean,
obviously they've got other really good players.
It's theoretical.
Bridges is outstanding, but
Ben Simmons could be their best player. Yeah, but he's not. So Bridges is their best player because you know what he does? Plays.
He does, and the best ability is availability. And Ben Simmons, I mean, that's his issue. Also doesn't have an outside shot. But when he plays, they're a different team. They just are. They're a different team. He gives them energy. He's a great defender. He's got length. He can drive into the paint. He can distribute. He makes them a different team. He makes Bridges even better than he is. So I just like to ask Don, where does the blame go to Vaughn? How is it Vaughn's fault?
You're still the 10th best team in the conference. Let's not get caught up in the play-in being any good.
But the bottom of the Eastern Conference is dreadful.
I understand, and that's the only reason that they're not one of the worst teams. I don't want to see anybody lose their job, Michael, but this goes beyond just their personnel. There's nothing to them. There's no buzz around them. There's nothing going on. Now, I know he's got another year after this on his contract, but you got to do something here to try to call some attention and to see if you can maybe find a way to get into the play-in and play some meaningful games. When you got a Jeff Van Gundy just sitting out there, I mean, how do you not go after him? No offense to Jock Vaughn. You could do better. Jeff Van Gundy would give them relevancy, would get them into the postseason. I mean, honestly, Michael, the only reason, let's be honest, the only reason that they even come up as much as they do on this show is because they're on Yes. What's there to talk about with this team? No, they're 50 points. Team.
But that's not Jock Vaughn's fault.
No, but unfortunately, it's not helping the situation any. They're not that good. In the NBA, Michael, I'm sorry, you've got 10 teams, 20 out of the 30 technically make the playoffs with the play-in. And for this team to barely be in the play-in, come on, you've got to do better than that. And I think Jeff Van Gundy would have them better. So it's like the same conversation with Robert Saleh. Does he deserve to be fired? No. Can I do better? Absolutely. You tell me they can't find somebody better? And Jeff Van Gundy is just sitting there, gives them relevancy, would get them into the playoffs. God.
But you've been sitting there for 17 years.
Two things. One is just us bringing up the Nets killed our live. We were in this high sevens, Don. Now we're in the 400s on Rosenberg Radio. So
well, there you go.
Nets talk just sunk us to death. But, guys, I think we got to. I love Jeff. I think we got to stop with the Jeff conversation.
But is there somebody else?
Mark Jackson.
All right. Well, I don't know, Mark.
Listen, I'll say this. If the Milwaukee Bucks felt like it was time that they had to go to Doc Rivers, then I think it's probably time that the Nets move on from Jock Vaughn. But at the same time, what do you expect from this team?
The Bucks are built to win a championship.
Right, that's what I'm saying. What are you really doing?
So why would you change coaches? Why would you put on Jock Vaughn?
All right. Would you renew him?
You think they don't? They don't play hard enough? I don't think that's the case. They're outmanned all the time. It's a hodgepodge of talent. Thank the Big Three. They did this, not Jock Vaughn. They did it.
Several people in the live believe my glasses are giving serial killer vibes.
The first thing I said?
You said Dahmer.
No, I said serial killer vibes, and then somebody said Dahmer.
No, I think you added Dahmer, which is more specific.
No, I think it was Anthony who said Dahmer.
Interesting.
It's more Dahmer, Don, than regular serial killer. If you're going to choose a serial killer, choose one who's Mount Rush.
I don't want to do that.
You won't do that?
I don't want to do a top five of like serial killers.
You won't? Don, you gutless.
If that means I'm gutless, then
you will not do a top five.
But you were talking
about... How do you rank it?
But you know, it's an interesting conversation, though, with the Knicks, Michael, when we were talking about the Yankees, about injuries being an excuse. I agree. This team is really... they've been decimated by injuries. But enough to lose by 18 to Orlando... Enough to lose to Houston, to fall behind 16 points in the second half the way that they did, to have a 20-point game become a 4-point game against Memphis, to where now you had to put Brunson back into the game and then he gets hurt. So, yes, I believe that the injuries are the major reason why this team is limping literally into the break. But there's also winnable games that have been lost, and there's also situations where they've had to play guys longer than they should have because games become competitive. And I don't think that's a good idea. I mean, does that mean that every time they lose a game, it's because of injuries? Or, you know, listen, I don't expect them to go out there and beat the best teams in the league when they've got injuries. But, you know, they should have beaten Houston. Houston's okay, not great. You could still win that game with the players that they had.
But I think that every game they lose is because of injuries right now. The flow is different.
Okay.
Their big time scorers are out. Their defender and Ananobi is. I mean, they're not playing with a full deck. If they were playing cards right now, the deck has 37 cards, not 52.
And then they come out of the break in Philly and then home against the Celtics.
And those are two losses.
Right. Now they got the Pistons at home. I'm sorry, you got to win that game.
Yeah, you should be able to beat the Pistons with Jalen Brunson playing 1-on-5.
And then the Pelicans come in. Same record as you have. What happens in that game?
They probably lose.
You know, and then...
They will be getting back DiVincenzo, and they say they'll be getting back Hartenstein.
So maybe Jalen's feeling better.
Well, then after that, the Warriors come in, and then you're at Cleveland on March 3rd.
What's the Warrior? What year? What date is that?
That's the 29th. Thursday the 29th.
Sitting in the House of Heartache, Don.
That feels like a TNT vehicle, first game of the doubleheader.
Doesn't it?
But there's not a lot of wins coming out of the break if they're not healthy. And right now they're the 4 seed. And somebody on Twitter earlier was like, Don, they could still finish in the top 4. They're going to get everybody back. But how far are they going to fall before they get everybody back?
That's the key.
Philadelphia is only a half game back. If Philadelphia wins that game on the 22nd, guess what? Now you're fifth. And that Orlando picked up a game last night. They're only three back in the loss column now. So as you start to get guys back, you fall to fifth, you fall to sixth, and now time's starting to run out. Now you're going to have to go on a real run. Oh, by the way, also start to build chemistry with all the new players that you have back. It really puts them in a tough spot. I think they can still maybe get to the conference final, Michael, but the feeling of championship at the trade deadline when they it was just last Thursday, when we felt like this team had the depth to make a run, these injuries have just been killer. I think winning a championship this year under these circumstances is going to be close to impossible.
I'll tell you what, it's taken a lot of the steam out of the joy we were feeling and the anticipation that we were feeling. Now, injuries are a real deterrent. Anybody who just like scoffs at it, well, next man up is Jacob Toppin.
He's the
enough talent.
He's my preferred Toppin, if that helps.
Well, you know what? He might win the dunk contest. Could be brothers winning it back to back.
Well, what year was
last year?
That was last year. When was Mac McClung?
Oh, McClellan was last year.
McClung.
A year. Yeah. Toppin was the year before. Okay, my apologies.
How dare you?
Yeah, least,
but there's still we can debate about championship, but there's still time, and there's still talent when they come back that they could still make this the best season we've seen in 25 years. They could still, you know, certainly make the playoffs, maybe get a 4 seed, and maybe get out of the second round for the first time since 2000. That still would be a great season, and then you could start to wonder going into next season what they can do. And will this be a destination, and can they add that other player? There's still a lot of season left to make this a lot of fun.
All right, give us a buzz. 1-800-919-3776. Time to talk to you. Radio-only vehicle. I don't have to tell you that because you're probably listening on the radio or the app, because we're not on Yes right now.
Brett, that's right.
Their commissioner
Rob Manfred's
baseball,
not telling
Rob
you to
Manfred,
call.
Is having a press conference right downstairs from where I am. Let's go to Mike on the Jersey Shore. Mike.
Oh, no.
You know what, Mike? It's hard for me when these things happen.
That was going to be a good one, too, because he was going to insult me. And you could see I took the phone call where...
Really?
What was
he going to say? I can follow up on his insult.
He said, a shout-out to the show, Michael is eh.
Oh, I would have enjoyed that.
Well, I wouldn't have enjoyed it. Why is that something?
Because we rarely, you know, it would have been nice. We probably would have gotten built up a little bit. Michael likes to hang on the rim when it happens to us.
That doesn't make it right.
It doesn't make it right, but sometimes it's not wrong.
Let's go to John in Tom's River.
John! Hi, John.
Good afternoon, guys. Peter, first, I want to thank you. I finally have an idea on the show. I'm going to be known as John McCombs from now on. Okay?
Oh, you're McCombs?
Yes.
What do you think happened there, John?
Yeah, what happened?
Bouvange or drinking?
No, just misspoke.
Okay.
I have a hot take for you for today. Michael, this is dealing with you because the other guys are too young. Jalen Brunson, I'm going to pair him to a Hall of Fame guard, and I think he's better than. Ready? Drafted in 1970 by the Cincinnati Royals. Most noted playing for the Celtics from 78 to 83 against the Knicks in the division. Point guard with Larry Bird, McHale, and Parrish.
Tiny.
Know what I'm speaking about?
Tiny Archibald.
Yes. I think Brunson's actually a better player and a better shooter than Tiny. Tiny was quicker, and they're both same style of play. They both drove left-handed into the lane, but Archibald had no right hand. I mean, at least Brunson can rotate a little bit.
What is this?
Wow.
You're playing off John?
You're playing John. Really?
No.
John, see well, that John, Peter who did that.
John. No, the only reason I did it is that it was a very Richard-like call. Randomly calling to compare
right.
Jalen Brunson to Nate Tiny Archibald is out of the Richard from Manhattan book. That's all, John. It's a good call.
I think of Mick Archibald.
He's a Hall of Famer. I'm just saying.
He's an icon. Love the
I believe I see some similarities. Brunson is thicker and stronger, and he could actually take somebody down into the blocks and still get a shot off. Tiny was more or less all about speed and quickness. But I could see, you know, they're both, you know, somewhat height challenged. Let's go to Sean in Islip. Sean.
Big Mike, Peter, Don, what's going on, guys?
How are you?
First time, long time. Big Mike, I'm a huge fan, man. I've grown up with you with the Yankees and on Yes. And,
thank you, man.
You know, I love you, man. So
nice, man.
Thank you so much. I had a question on Matt Chapman, Big Mike, if you can just clarify for me. What's the market on him how come he hasn't gotten so much command? And can the Yankees possibly make a run at a cheap price if he's not getting expensive offers?
Well, I think the reason there's no market is because Scott Boras is aiming for the sky, and he's trying to get him huge money. And I don't think the market's there. I don't think the Yankees would be interested. I mean, they believe, and we thank you for the call. They believe in DJ LeMahieu at third base. So if you bring in a third baseman, DJ LeMahieu is going to cost himself a lot of games. You know, Volpe plays almost every day. Gleyber Torres plays an awful lot. Chapman would play every day. He's going to cost upwards of $20, $25 million. I'm sure that's what Boras is asking for. Most likely, which way they go? I mean, the Blue Jays have brought in Justin Turner. I can't believe that Justin Turner is their answer to play third base all the time. He's 38 years old. I guess they could bring him back. The Chicago Cubs, I've heard rumors that there could be some interest there as well. But again, it's the big four with Boras, and if you want to make it five, it's J.D. Martinez, too. All of these really fine players that are without a job right now. And how about this, guys? Jordan Montgomery, I mean, the narrative was he was waiting for the Texas Rangers to work out their television rights fee money so that they could give him the money, which to me sounded like such nonsense. The Texas Rangers owner is a multi-billionaire.
Right.
He just won the World Series. You mean they can't come up with $25 million to sign Jordan Montgomery? Chris Young, the president of baseball operations of the Rangers, just came out and said, we're good. We're not signing any more free agents. So where does Jordan Montgomery end up?
That's amazing.
Now, the only team I could think of that has the money but doesn't seem like it has any inclination to spend any of it would be the Boston Red Sox. Unless Jordan Montgomery just drops his price to a point that maybe the Yankees reengage. But think about it. The Rangers are not, they pulled a Don. No, we're good.
Yeah. Well, I think the Mets would dive in there if it was like a one-year deal.
And you don't want it to be a one-year deal because you just helped a team win the World Series. You want to go to free agency off that year.
No, I get it. But wouldn't it be better to sign a one-year deal than to not play?
Well, if that was the option, or you can just say, okay, I'll take $18 million a year for 4 years instead of like $25 to $30 million a year.
Because it's clear the Mets are thinking about 2025. They don't want to lock themselves into anything like beyond that. But if I'm sure the Mets would probably pay whatever if it's just 1 year. You know, so that's what he's going to – I don't know what he's going to do, Mike. I don't see how it helps you for a bunch of reasons to not – report to spring training or not play. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to hurt your ability to make any kind of money if you sit out for an entire season. I mean, at some point, you're going to have to do something. Now, I understand Snell doesn't want to sign a one-year deal. He should be hot. He's coming off of Cy Young. But you think it makes sense for Montgomery to sit?
No. No, I mean, it doesn't make sense for any of them to sit.
Does it make sense for him to sign in May and then try to ramp himself up to be ready for June and then blow out his arm because he wasn't properly prepared for the season?
Well, as I said, if this goes 2 weeks, if I'm any team, I'm not signing Snell or Montgomery because they're gonna hurry their ramp up. They're probably not going to pitch in April. And then you got a guy who's behind the eight ball. All teams have either reported today or started pitchers and catchers working out today. They are now officially behind the eight ball. Now, might the Orioles engage with Snell or with Montgomery after losing Bradish, who's going to start the season on the IL? I don't know. That's what I think Boras is banking on, that somebody's going to lose a big-time pitcher like the Orioles just did, and that they'll be desperate. Anybody who signs these guys now, they're going to be desperate. I'm sorry, they're going to be desperate to bring in a pitcher this late. And you could say, oh, with all the modern technology, they're working out on their own. Not the same. Not the same working out under the watchful eye of the team that's getting you ready to pitch. And speaking of pitching, Marcus Stroman said today he's the third pitcher in the rotation. And he said that means that he's going to start the home opener against the Blue Jays on April 5th.
Well, that would be
he's looking
cool
forward to it. He loves the spotlight, so he's looking forward
and
to it.
And he loves... Does he have any issue with the Blue Jays?
He played for them.
No,
he didn't like that they traded him to the Mets.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I meant. Does he still hold an issue? Because we know he's a guy. He appeared to have a grudge with the Mets for virtually no reason.
Whether he has one or not, I'm sure he'll try to create one to help him pitch better. But that not like how cool is that, though? New York kid.
Just heard a nice,
the Yankees.
Nice big rip of the box.
This is still going, man.
You hear that? Michael, you hear it?
What?
Big rip of the box.
Yeah.
Manfred just told the assembled media that his Major League Baseball stint as commissioner will end in early 2029.
And that's when his contract's up, I guess?
5-year term.
Hmm. Say it ain't so.
Well, how old is he now? In the 60s, I'm sure.
Probably 60, but he's a very young 60.
No, you know what? Time to move on sometimes.
Well, I mean, he made a nice bit of money.
I think he did okay. I'm not worried about him.
Commissioners make way
more
money.
I would love if some other commissioners followed this lead and say, you know what, maybe it's time to move on.
Let's see. Rob was born in 1958, so he's actually 66.
Yeah, oh, wow.
So,
but he'll be 63 on Saturday.
September 28th.
Oh.
But, and so, you know, yeah, so you're talking about he'll be going into 70 years old. There's nothing wrong with that.
No. But you know what? 70 is the new 50. That's what I'm going with.
Is that true?
It's what I'm going with. I don't believe it, but that's what I'm going with.
What? How old are you now, Michael?
63.
Is 70 hanging out? You're starting to feel it, huh?
Oh, it's awful.
No, but
my friend Bob Clappish walked up to me today. He said, "You think about death often?" I said, "Do you know me?"
Oh my God!
Well, that's a bad job by Clappish. He's not doing his job.
No, it's not.
He should know. Everyone knows you're thinking about death 24/7.
He doesn't know you very well, does he?
He said, "How often?" I said, "Right now, I'm thinking about it."
Right, every moment, because you know how to live. But I will tell you this: 50 is starting to loom for me, and I've never really had an age hang out there where I'm like, oh my God.
Not 6 years away from that.
No, I know you're not talking.
Oh, but
you've been dreading death since you were 22. I mean, come on.
Well, you just said you're dreading 50. You didn't say you're dreading death.
But 50, that's not that far away. And I'm just saying it's hanging out there to know it's going to be here in a second. And 50 is just such an undeniably adult age. It's not like I view it as if I'll be an old man. I know 50, well, I'll say this. You're not an old man when you're 50. You're right. You're in your prime, kind of. Your professional prime at 50.
Yeah, that makes you feel better, sure.
But it's a scary. It's still a real number. I mean, it's a real number, 50.
It's terrifying.
When you're young, you hear 50 and you go, oh man.
I didn't feel 50.
Really?
I didn't.
You think I won't feel it much?
No, I don't. I know.
How are you feeling about 60 coming up?
60 is the one I anticipate that's really going to sting.
Michael, how was 60?
Sucked.
But he thought he wasn't fond of 50 either.
No.
Yeah, it was 50.
50 was awful. 40, you know, you start to get a little itchy. But the number that got me, I don't know why, was 56.
God, my 40th was so sad.
56 got me.
I lost 40. 40 was the last good big number. 40 is, you're young, it's a grown-up age, it's a real age, but you're still young. And I lost it.
Well, the next milestone ones, the signpost ones, are signposts to death.
Sorry?
50, 60, 70, I mean...
They're all...
The inexorable march toward the end.
Well, so is 40 in that sense.
No, but you don't, it's not within, like, eyesight.
But 40, I had to celebrate 40. My marriage had just broken up, I celebrated 40... at an Italian restaurant on the Upper West Side with just me and my family of origin. Me, my mom, my dad, my brother. Which in some ways is beautiful, and in some ways was just tragic.
And pathetic.
That's, I mean...
What are you singing, Don?
Yeah, you just ruined... Oh, scenes from an Italian restaurant.
Bottle of white.
Oh, boy.
Well, it's...
Also, Manfred just said the league...
I don't care what he has to say.
No,
but
this is interesting.
I doubt it.
Because we were just talking about Boris. He said that the league proposed a December free agent signing period. The union rejected the idea. Do not play me off.
It was more clock than the interest in what you said.
All right. Stop the music. Hey, do you want to experience an inflammation of money and happiness? Watch your bank account grow with an extra pep in your step. Catch Jovia-itis, a side effect of not-for-profit banking with Jovia Financial Credit Union. When you bank with Jovia, you may see an increase in savings, growing checking account balances, and reduced rates on loans. Symptoms may include greater happiness, reduced stress, and general feelings of financial freedom. Join Jovia and start spreading the wealth.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
I just got word from Anthony that he's concerned that the entire pizza box is not going to make it into the two-liter
box. It's getting close. I'll say this. It's getting interesting. Right.
It's something to be concerned about.
You tell
me.
All right, there we are. I would say we are already right at, if you look at where a 2 liter bottle looks like.
Right.
It's at the curve.
Where it's just curving to the top.
To the top. You're 6/8 done.
Right. So that I'm right at where the flat is over, and now we're curving towards the top. So we're definitely near the top. But all I have is about 3/4 of the top of the box left. So I think
it's
going to make it.
Squeeze in there.
Listen, it'll be fine.
But now you were feeling pretty tough, thinking you could get the small pizza box in there too. That's not happening.
No, that will not be happening. No, but
that's
I'll
a
still
lot
try.
Of box there. I don't know if you could fit the top part in.
No, listen, I'm gonna do it. Lock.
Lock
you
it
think
in.
It's a lock.
Lock.
I feel good about it. It's going to be very close. I think I'm still feeling good about his chances, though.
All right.
How you doing, finger wise, Don?
Oh, it's thumbs are sore.
Can I join?
Do your fingers hurt?
Yes.
Well, guess what? Now your back's going to hurt.
Why is that?
You just pulled landscaping duty. Second time in a day, Michael.
What are you talking about?
Second time in a day, Don has no idea what movie I'm referencing. I'm really starting to worry. Nobody? Who do I do a show with?
Well, remind me.
Anthony? Go ahead, Anthony. Come back to me.
I had a feeling it was from a movie. I can't say that I
know. Oh, my God. Jacob?
I do know the movie. Is it Happy Gilmore?
Yes, it is.
I'm sorry. I didn't. And Ben's, I just watched it the other day.
Ben Stiller? My fingers hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Your fingers?
Yeah,
oh. Yeah. Well, guess what? Okay. Now your back's going to hurt.
That's on me.
That's a bad job. Michael, we expect he probably hasn't even seen Happy Gilmore all the way through.
I've seen Happy Gilmore, you clown. Let's go to Jack in Woodbridge. Jack.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's
hey, Jack.
How are
you doing? Doing well. So, Yankees in the rotation this year. So, you know, we're about 6 weeks or so from the start of the season. And I feel like the rotation is, you know, we got one guaranteed starter and we got four big question marks. So, my question is, and maybe it's kind of a Would You Thursday, is with Bradish going down for the O's, and I heard today they're looking at possibly bringing in Bauer. If all things are equal, and this is the one piece the Yankees need to, you know, get to an ALCS or dare I say a World Series, would you not do it? Sign this guy for the minimum. I mean, obviously his past is questionable as well, but the guy wasn't charged with anything officially. Yankees have had players in the past that...
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Jack. He wasn't charged with anything. He was suspended for a year, so something happened, right?
Well, does that mean
something
that?
Something definitely happened, but I mean, right. I guess, you know, in the court of public opinion, people are kind of, you know, waiting to see what's next, but as far as, you know, a criminal charges, nothing happened with the guy.
Jack, okay, so let's look at it this way. I don't even know what the deal is. Pitching is so precious. This is a guy who was a great pitcher in the big leagues. No one has sniffed.
Agreed.
Do you think that there's an issue there? No one. He's willing to work for minimum wage.
I think everyone's scared to make that to make the move, that first step.
Right, exactly.
But for what reason, Jack? What do you think they're scared?
I mean, honestly, I don't know all the details. Obviously, nobody really does, except for maybe, you know, Bauer and the woman. But if the criminal courts decided that there wasn't enough there to prosecute, and Yankees have had, you know, wife beaters in the rotation, drug users in the rotation.
Well, who's the wife beater there in the rotation? You're saying Herman?
No. Herman, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's all questionable stuff.
Well, here is what it comes down to, guys. Everybody does their due diligence, okay? There wasn't enough for it to be able to go to trial. But they know what happened, because they're not going to spend the money unless they do their due diligence. And the fact that he's still out there, a great pitcher still out there, tells me that the due diligence showed they don't think he's a great guy and he's not worth the risk. Because what's going to happen next time? And he was kind of nozzly before the incident had taken place. So if they analyze it, it's all about gambling, right, Michael? Do I think this guy is going to be good? Okay, put that in the pro column. Do I think this guy might get himself in trouble and derail our season and not be available? I think there's a reasonable chance that can happen, and they don't sign him. And the fact that nobody's signing him tells me that they obviously think his character isn't worth the bet.
And, you know, there's another aspect to this, too. And he's never been directly asked about it. But the strong narrative is that Gerrit Cole and Trevor Bauer don't get along. They were on the same UCLA team. Mm. They don't like each other. So you think the Yankees are going to anger Gerrit? Again, I don't know if Gerrit Cole would be angered or not, but that has long been the narrative. Now, there's another pitcher out there, Julio Urias, who might be a better pitcher than Bauer. There's no charges whatsoever. They are not filing any charge. Is anybody touching Julio Urias? I mean, there's different stuff between drug users and people have gotten into other trouble. But when it comes to, like, physical abuse and stuff like that, sexual abuse, teams get, and they should be, really, really hinky about it. And they should be.
Well, because Michael, all right, the incident taken place, there wasn't enough evidence to go to trial, so everybody's innocent until proven guilty. Okay, but the allegations are out there. He was suspended for a year. So you sign him to a contract. Take the chance. Fans all want to take a chance. If he ends up doing something again, well, how is it going to look on you?
I'll tell you what, Don, I don't think he would do anything again, because he's essentially a bright guy. And I think he knows this is his last chance. But still, do you want the stink of what he has actually admitted to doing? And the fact that he was suspended for a year for doing said thing, do you want that on your team? Again, I don't think he will get into any further
trouble. What's the line? Like you said, you know, they found that it was okay for Herman. It was okay with Chapman. You know, and obviously...
Well, Chapman didn't touch anybody.
I know,
Chapman,
but...
Chapman supposedly fired a gun.
It's still a terrifying story.
Awful.
It's an awful story. When, you know, the person you're with's got to run because he's got a gun. But, you know, obviously it's all about, are you worth the risk? Now, the thing about Cole, Michael, what I would kind of speculate, all right, they don't get along, but he obviously knew him, so wouldn't I go to Gerrit Cole and say, is he worth the risk? And if Cole says no, well, wouldn't you take him at his word? Like listen, I think Gerrit Cole's a good guy. He knows him. So I don't know if it's not liking him. Maybe he just doesn't think he's worth it. Believe me, everybody wants to win championships. And the due diligence is being done. And if everybody universally don't believe he's worth it, Michael, that sounds pretty scary.
Again, a dearth of pitching, and no one's touched the guy who said he's willing to pitch for minimum wage. No one has pitching. Nobody has enough pitching. No one's touched him. And he has done his little media tour to change people's mind about him. He's done it all. Still no one's touching him. Now, this caller said that he heard the Orioles might be in. Let's see. Let's see. Bruce in Flushing. Bruce.
Hey, guys. Mike, I have two Yankee points, and I have a Ranger question for Don.
Okay.
First, on the Yankees. My common sense and my instincts tell me, Hal wouldn't trade for Soto unless he's going to make a push for him. And obviously there's no guarantee that Soto will sign with the Yankees, but I think Howe is going to give him an offer between $500,000 and $600,000. Do you agree or disagree?
I don't think they traded for him for this 1 year. I think their intent is to sign him. Whether they're able to or not, whether Cohen comes in and pays him $50 million a year, that I can't answer to. But I think that their intent is to sign him.
Okay. Number two. Now, I always hear you say that the Yankees have this big medical guy, Clancy, and this new science thing. But, you know, you look at what happened last year. You let a guy play with a torn ligament for a half a year, and then it was too much. You couldn't diagnose a concussion. If this guy is so good, how did he screw up so badly?
I can't answer that. I mean, in terms of the concussion, Bruce, he never complained. Now, he was fine. He seemed like he was fine in everyday life. He never said anything until he finally, somebody in his family said, "You just don't look right." And then he went to the Yankees. So when they checked him out for it, they said, okay, there's something wrong here. He never complained.
But boy, did he take a nosedive after that collision.
Oh, yeah. He you couldn't know, hit.
So
he
I don't
see
know.
The ball.
Do you have to, if you're the Yankees, is that the symptom? All right, he seems fine. But this is a really good hitter. Now, he can't see the ball. He's swinging, missing the ball by a foot. Something's wrong here. So how much does that fall on them not noticing that? Because it did look like, Michael, we talked about it when it was happening. Like, it was beyond a slump. He was like an automatic out, and then you see that it was probably because of the concussion.
Let's go to Jeffrey in Indiana. Jeffrey.
Hey, Michael, Don, Peter, big fan. Now, I was going to bring up the Boris. Yeah, I was going to bring up the Boris point, but I guess, you know, that got shot down by the union pretty quick. I guess at this point, you know, MLB faces so many challenges on its own to, you know, get fans. You know, missing out on two of your biggest stars in the league by not having a period, or, you know, they're going to have to rush back, potentially get hurt. The sport, I don't know if they can afford to do that. Do you guys have any solutions or ideas on how we can get, you know, fix that?
The solution is what Major League Baseball proposed, and I understand why the union said no, because if you put a deadline on something, then you're not going to let the market actually percolate. So, he has to be signed by this point, and this is not a cap sport, which the NBA and the NFL is. So they've got to get their people right away, and there is no deadline to the NFL and the NBA. It's just you want to get that done right away so you can deal with the cap ramifications. With baseball, you're asking the agents to put an artificial deadline on when they can negotiate a contract. Would it be better for the sport? I actually think a lengthy time where you could sign players is actually good for the sport. I've had this argument with Don and Peter, because what you've done is you keep the sport in the news. But this is awful for those players. Forget about the sport. It's awful for those players. But they made this bed. They're probably asking for ridiculous money that the sport doesn't think that they're worth at this point.
Listen,
on them.
I don't have an ounce of sympathy for the players. We had the conversation yesterday. You don't let the agent dictate. You want to play, you play. You want a contract, get a contract. They can go to Scott Boras and say, "Scott, I appreciate everything you've done for me, but I'm going to play. The deadline to get something done is the first day of spring training. I am not hurting my arm. I'm not missing any season. I don't know how long of a career I have. I appreciate all the work doing for me, but you know what? Get it done." "Well, sorry, but if we get it done, you're not going to make as much money." "All right, but aren't you hurting yourself in the end?" Not playing doesn't seem right to me.
Well, I will tell you a Scott Boras story that concerns me. I've told him once before on the air, but okay. It does illustrate exactly what is going on with these players. And I think that you'll understand more when I tell you the story. I'll do it when I get back. Now, do you want to experience an inflammation of money and happiness? Watch your bank account grow with an extra pep in your step. Catch Jovia-itis, a side effect of not-for-profit banking with Jovia Financial Credit Union. When you bank with Jovia, you may see an increase in savings, growing checking account balances, and reduced rates on loans. Symptoms may include greater happiness, reduced stress, and general feelings of financial freedom. Join Jovia and start spreading the wealth.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business.
From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
The Point God.
You have made no good points, Peter.
You're so right, Michael.
I think you made some salient points.
Yeah, because you're an ass.
Let's go to Terry in Texas.
You guys need to let off of Peter. Sometimes we have to go when it's not a good time.
But he's got a responsibility to be on the air. He's got to control his bowels better than this.
You know what? I got a responsibility when I worked in the field, but Michael, but when nature called and I had to go take a dump, guess what? I got to get on my bike and go.
That's right.
Imagine having to get on your bike and being in that situation.
See? Feel every bump. But she makes a great point, so much so that she's the point guard. How do you like that? Good job.
Well, now it's 2-1-1, so the best Don could do is tie, or Terry can call in tomorrow and tie.
That would be big for Terry.
All right, so the quick Boris story, Don's heard it. So there was a time that I have a really good relationship with Scott. He's really smart, and just talking to him, you walk away, you're smarter. And you go, wow, his mind operates on a different wavelength. And, you know, I was trying with the idea. I said, why don't you represent broadcasters? He said, well, I mean, my job is to represent the players. I said, well, would you ever consider it? He said, well, there'd be a couple of things that would have to happen. He said, I'd have to know the salary of every broadcaster in baseball. I said, well, that's not available. There's no database of that. Nobody tells their salary to other people. He goes, well, you're idiots. He said, the second thing is that if I'm representing you and I'm negotiating with the team and I say walk, you have to walk. I said, well, that's where we part ways. I said, there are 30 of these jobs. In baseball, there are 700 jobs. I said, and everybody's clamoring for that one great player. You leave a broadcasting job, you might not ever get another one. So I think, I'm not saying you're swearing an oath to him, but when you sign up with him, he's saying you have to trust the process and trust me and listen to me and I will work it out. And I think that's what we're seeing right now.
And if you have him as an agent, that's obviously your end game as well.
Yes.
You just want the most money humanly possible, and you'll do anything to get it. I'm just wondering now if some of the confidence the players had in him waver when you start to see some of these guys not get jobs at the start of spring training. I mean, he had a great track record, Michael, but then eventually, you know, it happened last year, and now it's happening again this year where there are guys that they're running out of chairs. Music's going to stop here pretty soon. So, hey, listen, Alex walked away from him. I mean, there have been guys that have said, all right, I've got to go someplace else. But that's why I don't feel bad for these players. They've made their bed. Now they got a line.
It's on them. It's not on Boris. They went to Boris to get the best deal. And then Boris is trying to get them a mega deal, and it's not happening. It's just not happening. Matt and Scranton. Matt.
How you doing?
Good. How you doing, Matty?
You guys just talked about Bauer. Mm-hmm. And not getting along with Garrett Cole.
Well,
what if he was? I know you don't like him being on the Yankees, but what if he was offered like an incentive laden deal, or getting like 100 strikeouts and 100 innings?
Well, that's
would that be something you guys would go for?
No, it's not because of the money. I don't think, Matt, and I don't think it's because of anything else other than you know, the things that happened in the past, because he has said right out front, I will play for minimum wage with incentives of what I do. So that's out there, and still nobody is taking a bite.
So there's really no financial risk.
No,
the risk
not
is
at
if
all.
If I get him and he pitches well, and in the middle of the season something happens, it could derail my season. I guess that's what they're saying, Michael. Now, there's been other people on Twitter that have suggested, is it spider tack because he hasn't pitched since then? And also, you know, you wonder, he won the Cy Young in a shortened season where you're only going against the Central. But for minimum wage, Michael, any pitcher would be worth the risk financially. But they're afraid he becomes your number two starter, has an amazing start to the season, and then it derails with something going on.
I don't think it's that, Don. I think they're just afraid of the past. They don't want the reaction from the public. Because if you take an incentive-laden deal, he's your fifth starter, and if he fizzles out, he fizzles out. Starters fizzle out all the time. I think they're just worried about the backlash from the fan base.
But you've seen players, Michael, sign contracts.
I know, but maybe they, because of the investigation that suspended him for a year, and maybe they just see stuff that is not reconcilable with the, and I'm not saying the Yankees, not reconcilable with the organization's values. It's got to be that. Because he doesn't have a job.
Yeah.
Even if he's not the great pitcher that he once was, he's still a viable option for a league that is desperate for starting pitching. And nobody wants him. Nobody wants him. Everybody wants ENN, though.
Are you kidding me? You kidding me?
Yeah. That's coming up in just a moment, so you have to stay tuned for that. Hey, it's Michael Kay. I love when I get to talk about my friends at PC Richard & Son. It's a local company, family-owned. I trust them for my appliances, TVs, electronics, and a good night's sleep, too. Their experts use a four-step mattress fitting process to make sure your new bed fits you perfectly. During their President's Day sale, buy a select Sealy mattress, $799 or more, get a free motion base, and in-home delivery on any mattress, $199 and up. And that's free, too. So do what I do. Get to PC Richard & Son, the local company you could trust for your new mattress.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.